Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer, guys. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but I feel good. Father, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, for the precious Holy Spirit, Lord, that guides us and leads us into all truth. We thank you, Lord, that we have no excuse, Father. We have the teacher of teachers, Father, right in the midst of our spirit and our heart. And I thank you so much for the everlasting peace, Lord, that you can bring. We thank you, Lord, for the understanding and revelation and wisdom that the Holy Spirit brings. We thank you for that edification, exhortation, and comfort, Father. We thank you for the transformation of your word and the baptism that worship brings us, Lord. We thank you so much, Father. We thank you so much. All it takes is one or two, Lord, and four or five or six, whatever it takes, Lord, to change this world. I'm convinced of that, Father. I'm convinced of it. And I thank you for those that are here, Lord, for those that are here on Sunday morning and on Wednesdays, Father. It just takes a few. It just takes one, Lord. And I bless you, and I praise you, and I thank you forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Like I've said it before, I've preached to hundreds before at youth conferences, and I'm preaching to the same ones on Sunday. But you know what? Let me know that you're hungry. Let me know that you want something more out of life than just to be a casual Christian. I know when I first got sick a while back, I came out blazing fires. I wanted to lay hands on everybody, and there was something working in me that was mining for about 2 or 3 weeks, and it's still there. It's just a little different season of me teaching you line on line with God's word, just teaching you and helping you, hopefully, to be young men and young women that surrender to the Almighty God. I just want to teach you today, and we'll go into worship after a while. I'm not trying to be religious, I'm just not even trying to be different. I'm just comfortable at the way things are done for right now. I wanted to make a separation. I wanted to teach you, put a dividing line into something for you, to know the difference between Old Testament believing and New Testament believing. Now, I'm not the smartest individual in the world, and I'll actually be the first to tell you that, because he works with me. But I do have the Holy Ghost, so I'm qualified. Simple fact that I have him in me, and I know how to activate my prayer language. But I want to teach you the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. This may seem a little new to you, but it's often said, and I'm the type of person that when I hear something, I gotta look into it myself. I don't care who says it. I mean, one thing that I do is, and this is what I do. This is my personal preference, mine. I will never tell anybody to do what I do when it's just a preference. It's not something that God's commissioned me. It's not what the Holy Ghost has commissioned me. It's just the path that I've chosen. And I don't read any books. That's just my preference. Alex has been reading a book. He said it's exceptional. Great. There's great books out there. The best book in the world I've never read is the one by Pastor Dave Roberson. Not because it's not any good, because I've heard all the tapes and CDs that book talks about, and I've took his message, or let me rephrase, the message of the Holy Spirit, and incorporated what he has taught us. But this is God's word. I got it upside down. It's holy and it's undefiled. It's a brand new one too. Look at that. Yeah, baby. But this is the path I've chosen. And to me, it is sufficient. And it doesn't matter to me. And I have found out, though, when people have said something that I didn't understand, I wouldn't preach it till I saw it myself. But I did find out, or I have found out 99.9% of the time, that what I didn't understand or what I didn't agree either with Pastor Shane or Pastor Dave or Pastor Gary or anybody, I did find out that later on by reading what they were preaching out of and praying in the Holy Ghost that they were correct. Not giving them credit, but I'm giving the Holy Ghost credit, because when you pray in tongues consistently, it's going to be real hard for you to go astray. It's going to be almost virtually impossible. Now, people throw stones at us for making that statement. The corporate church, they'll throw stones at us for that. That's okay. I can throw them back. I'm just playing. But I want to teach you something tonight. Just real quick. In Psalms 23, now, you're here. Just listen. just listen. I want to help you, man. I want to help you so much. And I'm happy. I'm tickled pink. I'm excited today. But I've heard this for years in the church, for years. And I've heard it preached. I've heard it sung about this secret place that we find in God, about dwelling in the house of God. I've heard it forever. And what I thought it meant, it never really sat well in me. Psalms 23 says, David says, and I will dwell. He says, surely goodness and mercy, the last verse of chapter 23 says, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what David said. David, the giant killer. David said again in Psalms 27, listen to what he said. The great giant killer said, there's one thing that I desire in my life, God. David said, there's one thing that I desire in my life, so that I may dwell in your house all the days of my life. He finished off 23 by saying, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And he said in Psalms 27, there's one thing that I desire, and that what I seek after. He said, I'm going to seek after the desire that I have. Isn't that amazing that we can all have desires in God, but that doesn't mean we'll seek after that desire? It just means there's something there. There's got to be something in you that goes after that desire. David said, I have one desire in life. One, it wasn't riches, it wasn't gold, it wasn't beautiful women. He said, there's one desire that I have, and one that desire that I have, I will earnestly seek after what I want the most in life, and that's you, God. He says, to dwell in your house all the days of my life. He said in Psalms 84, the same giant killer, David wrote, he said, blessed is the man that dwells in your house. They will forever, listen to what he said, blessed is the man that dwells in your house. They will forever be praising you. He said in Psalms 91, he talked about a habitation. Psalm 91 is a book about a believer being rewarded by God because that believer made God his habitation. That believer made God his dwelling place. In other words, that believer was dwelling in the house of God. Now, if you hear that statement, David said in 23, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said in 27, there's one desire that I have, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He said in Psalms 84, blessed is the man that dwells in your house, that will forever be praising you. He said in Psalms 91 that a man's blessed because he dwells in God's house, in his habitation. What do you think? What do you think that means? He says, and I will dwell in the house of God for Elijah. Is this the house of God, Elijah? This is the house of God. Can you agree with me, all of you here, that this is the house of God? But can you agree with me that that's not what he was talking about? Now, there is portions of scripture that says that I'll go in the house of God and I'll praise God. Yes, it's making a reference to that. But David is talking, what's the word? I hope I can say the word right. Figuratively, what is it? Figuratively. He's you know, that word right there. He's speaking in David is speaking in a figurative manner. Or he's speaking figuratively. Told you I wasn't that smart. This is what he's saying. This is what he's saying. He said, I got a desire. So you mean, David, you're excited about going into a building? Into physically going into a building and worshiping God? Well, 99% of the church in the world today will tell you that the Bible is making a reference to that. So you mean to tell me that I have to physically go into a building to tell the Almighty God how much I love him? So then if there's no physical building around, that means what? According to modern day teaching. If there's not a physical building around, then I can't what? Then I can't worship him. That the modern day church is teaching that this secret place, the dwelling of God, is a physical dwelling. But he's not making reference to a physical dwelling. He's talking figuratively. Figured, he's saying to the Old Testament Jew, listen to me now. He's saying to the Old Testament before Christ. See, they had a standard, they had a choice. They had the law, they had the Torah, the first five books, and possibly the book of Job. That's what they had. They had a belief in Jehovah God, Old Testament. None of us in here are Old Testament believers. When the Bible says that they dwelt in the house of God, it was a standing that they had. A standing was that they were going to believe in Jehovah God. See, this is where the church misses it. When you say you believe in God, let me tell you something. To the Old Testament saint, the Old Covenant Jew that believed in God, That belief in God did not come without putting your trust in the Ten Commandments. So you can't have one without the other. So as the Jew believed in Jehovah God, Old Testament, before the book of Matthew, before when they believed in Jehovah God, that belief came with commandments. It came with the law. So what they were saying, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He was saying, God, I have an earnest desire in my life. And I want to seek after that desire in my life. What desire do you have, David? To seek after Jehovah God and his ways forever. It wasn't a physical entrance into a building to worship God. Now, worship is vital. It is vital and it is important. Well, then what's worship? Many will teach you that worship will put you in that secret place. No. Every time that I've read about the secret place, it's always followed by the believer worshiping God in that secret place, in the dwelling of God. So when David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, he was saying this, you will always be my God. And I will always desire with everything in me, Lord, to keep those five books. That was a standing that the Old Testament saint had. I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, God. I'm going to seek you as Jehovah God. And the Torah, the law that you gave me, the book of blessing and the book of cursings that you've given me, oh God, that is my inheritance. That's the standard that I live by. Now, here's where worship came in. Here's where the body of Christ misses it. They say if you worship God, that puts you in the secret place of God, or that puts you in his house. No, it does not. But worship is a celebration of all that God is. God, I thank you that you are my refuge. I worship you, and I praise you that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I worship you. I thank you for the standing that I have in you, Lord. I thank you I live in your house. I thank you that you are my defense. You are my shield. I worship you and I praise you. Fine. We're going to stop there and put a slash there. The Old Testament saint had a standing that he believed. It was a faith standing still somewhat because he had to believe inside that Jehovah God was God and that his ways were true. See, you just can't believe in God and separate his ways. That's not belief in God. That's emotionalism. That's a lie. But we're New Testament believers. But you know what? We can still dwell in the house of God. New Testament believer. Psalm 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Let me tell you one thing about the secret place, about the tabernacle, about the residency of God. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, you've arrived in God's dwelling. Are you with me on this? You with me? When you say, Jesus Christ, you are Lord, boom, immediately, instantaneously, in a matter of moments, you arrived in God's tabernacle. You arrived, figuratively speaking, you arrived in the dwelling of God. Not only do you dwell with him, but he what? But he dwells with you. And out of that confession, Jesus Christ, you are Lord, I've arrived in that place with God. But the Old Testament saint that believed in Jehovah, he had, now, I don't know, I'm not too good with the history of the Bible, but I don't think they all had access to the Torah, did they, Pastor? They had to usually hear it at the city gate, or they would have to hear somebody recite the Word of God, and they'd have to go there daily to hear God's Word. Now, listen to me, they had to physically put the Torah inside of them, the book of blessing and the book of cursing. They had to physically walk to the synagogue, to a city gate. They used to have to hear somebody recite the book to them, and they used to just hear it day in and day out. They had to physically do something to download God's word, the Torah, into their being. As born-again believers, as we are here, the moment you said yes to Jesus, you arrived in the dwelling of God. You arrived in his residency. You arrived in the place where he lived. But we didn't have to do nothing physically to get God's word. Listen to me. You didn't have to do anything physically to put God's word in you. The Old Testament saint were not, were New Testament saints. They had to download the Ten Commandments. They had to recite them. They used to have to write them upon their neck, write them upon their fingers to memorize it. Look, okay, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, they would write them on their knuckles, according to the little bit that I have studied. They write them every word they could to, okay, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not covet. They would have to write them down physically and always stare them down to have that word put in them. Guess what? The moment that me and you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there was something deposited in me and you, not physically, but spiritually. The very things that the Jews had to literally read over and over and over again to not walk in that filth. Jesus, come into my life. You are my Lord. You are my King. You died for my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Boom, instantly, there was a deposit inside of you spiritually. The desire to not want to commit adultery, the desire to not want to sin or steal or drink, there was an instantaneous desire inside of me and you to not want to do those things. And you know it's there because when you do them, or we do them, there's an uncomfortable feeling inside of us, right or wrong. If that feeling is not there, then guess what, my friends? If you don't think adultery is wrong, if you don't think certain things are wrong, stealing, cussing, whatever it may be, if they don't faze you and you don't think they're wrong, and I'm telling you that when you say yes to Jesus, the conviction against those things is downloaded into your heart. They're there. See, you can't have Jesus without his word. Now, I'm not talking about the written word, right? I'm not talking about this. You can't have Jesus come into my life, be my Lord, and be my Savior without an instantaneous spiritual download, the righteousness of the law that's deposited it. When I got born again, I only had Julie. But when I got born again 20-something years ago, I wasn't going to church. Listen to me. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to judge you at all. I'm here to even, whatever you have in your life, I'm here to help you, man. I'll never put my fingers at any of you. I'm here to help you. I don't care what you do. I'm here to help you. I'm just glad you're here today. I'm not here to judge anybody here at all, but I'm here to help you and talk to you about a God that has an unfailing love for you, regardless of the state that you're in. But when I got born again 20 years ago, I wasn't going to church. I didn't know this word, but I got up out of my bed and I burned all my pornography that I had in my house, all the perverted music. I got rid of it. I wasn't under Pastor Bronx's ministry. I wasn't hearing Pastor Dave's tapes, but there was a godly, spiritual download that was downloaded inside of me the moment I said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And without the Old Testament saint used to have to read this to build some type of conviction inside of him. Me, instantaneously, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Immediately, there was a spiritual, not a physical download to hear God's word, to know what was right or wrong, but there was a spiritual download downloaded inside of me the moment when I confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, that said that I couldn't do these things anymore. Who told me to burn that perverted music? Who told me to get rid of the pornography? Who told me? My conscience. The new godly conscience that I received the day that I got born again. Unfortunately for the body of Christ, you can't have one without the other. When you said yes to Jesus and you meant it with your heart, that spiritual word, that spiritual law, the righteousness of the law, the Ten Commandments were deposited inside of you. You can't have one without the other. That's why you find a Christian that's born again that completely goes against what's wrong. I will find a very miserable Christian with no joy in their life. So what do you do if you're a New Testament Christian? Now, remember, to dwell in the house of God, the Old Testament saint, who's a standing, God, I believe that you're God, you are Jehovah God, and I believe in your law. I believe in your Torah. That's going to be my way of life. The New Testament Christian, which is us, we've arrived in the dwelling of God through this one man named Jesus Christ. And through that belief in him, I love, and I've preached it before, I love when Pastor said this morning that you can go a year, 2 years, today to the day you die, not read your Bible and still be accountable. You know why? Because that conscience is what? It doesn't go in and out of you. It what? It abides. It remains in you. Jesus, you are the Son of God. And so you decide not to spend that quality time with Christ, praying in the Spirit, worshiping God, fasting, doing whatever we're doing, whatever we're taught to do. You don't decide to do that, but you still got a godly conscience. You still got a godly conscience, and it doesn't go nowhere. It follows you wherever you go. That's why. That alone, that belief, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Jesus, you are the Son of God. We confess it. And right behind her at the same time, this godly conscience comes and lives inside of our spirit. And we know, who else told me that I couldn't look at pornography? Who else told me that that filth that I used to hear had to be burned? Who told me that I couldn't steal at work no more? But the godly conscience that I inherited the very moment that I got born again. That, my friends, is what it means for me and you to dwell in the residency of God Almighty. We know right from wrong without having to read the Bible. We know right from wrong. Now, if you read the Bible, you're conforming yourself to what you know is right. And it makes your life a lot easier in Christ to do what's right when you saturate your soul with truth. But even without God's word, if you genuinely confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, immediately there was a godly conscience deposited inside of your spirit where you knew at that very moment what was right and what was wrong. The Old Testament saint had to physically hear or physically read to develop somewhat of a synthetic conscience. He had to do it or he had no hope. See, you couldn't have Jehovah God without the law. Guys, we're not going to serve Jesus to the fullest without observing what's inside of me and you. We dwell in the house of God. We dwell in the residency of God through this one man named Jesus Christ. We have something so vital and so powerful inside of me and you, an operation that no other religion can offer. We have been born again. And our lifestyle is to live outside of what's inside of me and you. We've changed worlds. We're not from this world anymore. The Bible says that we're aliens from another country. We actually are, my friends. We are from, our ways are the ways of a kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. That Holy Ghost feel, that instruction that is holy and undefiled lives inside of me and you. So let's say that you've gone against what's right. Let's say I've gone against what's right. Have you before? Yes, I have. Have you? Yes, you have. What do you do then as a born again, Holy Ghost filled believer with a conscience in you? What do you do? Remember I said, and I'm almost done. Remember I said that worship didn't put you in this secret place, but worship was a celebration of what we had in that secret place. Me and you, now you're not going to know this answer. And I always thought this was different. And I don't know, Pastor, how you've heard it before. How many of you in here have heard the story of King Jehoshaphat? Anybody? Let me ask you this, Pastor. Maybe you know this or not. When did he worship? Did he worship to win the battle? Well, let me ask you this, because I just got this the other day. You might know it. Why did he worship God, King? I know it's been taught everywhere. There's songs made about this certain story in the Bible about King Jehoshaphat being a worshiper, but when and why did he worship according to what you understand out of God's word? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, yeah. Forever. See, this is the thing, and he's right. This is the thing. You know why we got? You know why we worship God? And worship is vital. I'm not. People think I'm downplaying worship. No, I'm just teaching you properly. Worship is not gonna put me in the habitation of God. I've arrived in the habitation of God through Jesus Christ. But there's a certain king, and I'll go into that story with you one day. Was going to battle, real in a nutshell, and he was outnumbered by a vast army. Outnumbered. The Bible said he was fearful, actually. And he went to the Lord, and he told the Lord, God, are you not, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't know, I've only read it once or twice. God, are you not God? Did you bring me this far in life to have my enemies consume me? Then a prophet spoke to Jehoshaphat and said, go, and the Lord is with you. Now I've heard that worship caused him to win the battle. That's not true. He was told before he worshiped that he would win. So he was told before the battle began, go and God will be with you. Then he called the worshipers and put them in place. So he didn't win the battle because he was a worshiper. He won the battle because God said he's going to win the battle. Then he followed the instruction of God. So as new born again, Holy Ghost filled believers with God's word in our lap, with the promises of Jesus Christ in our lap. What do you think we worship God for? For what we what? For what we what? For what we have. I don't worship him to live in his dwelling. I can't. It's not biblical. But I do worship him for the promises that I have in Jesus Christ. The Old Testament saint, they worshiped him for the blessings and the standing that they had in Jehovah God. When I got real sick, I thought I was going to die. When I was in there, I couldn't see, had pain. My wife didn't know what to do. I was in so much pain, man. I've never experienced so much pain in my life. My nights were so long. Boy, baby, I couldn't sleep. I would toss and turn. My kidneys were hurting. My liver was hurting. My gallbladder. I was in so much pain for like 2 weeks straight. I dreaded laying down at night because I knew how long the hours were going to be. I was miserable. I said, Lord, just take me. Take me. But then when I started feeling sorry for myself and I got a hold of this thing, I began to worship God. I didn't worship him to be in a special place with him. I began to, let me back up a little bit. They worship King Jehoshaphat and his army and his worshipers worship God. Why do you think if he went to God, I'm rewinding, he went to God, said, God, there's this vast army that's trying to consume me, Lord. Aren't you Almighty God? You can deliver me from this army? He said, go, I'm paraphrasing, and I will deliver you. And I will deliver you. Then they worship after he heard what? The what of the Lord. He worshiped God after he heard the what? Those instructions or the word of the Lord. He worshiped God. Oh my God, did you hear that, boys? Our God says that we won. So he worshiped him out of that standing that he lived in. So here I am, a born again, Holy Ghost filled believer that's suffering with an infirmity. Well, guess who bore and healed my infirmity 2,000 years ago? Jesus. So what do you think as a new born again, Holy Ghost filled believer that I'm going to worship God for? Something that he what did what? I'm going to worship him and praise him and not speak against the very thing he did for me, what, 2,000 years ago. God, I thank you and I worship you that you bore all my sickness. I thank you and I worship you that you are God. You're almighty. You're holy. You're worthy. I love you and worship you. I thank you that you've healed this body, Lord. Even with the pain there, I would say things like, I thank you that this pain is gone in Jesus' name. I would walk around the room, run into the wall because I couldn't see. And I'd say, thank you, Lord, that I can see. Boom. Knot after knot. I just tell you, it worked. There's a counter there. And they make fun of me at work sometimes playing with me because I can't see. They say, you can't see. You're dead. I just mean, he said, you're dying too. I said, no, I'm not. You can't see. I said, I'm healed. And then boom, I ran into the shelf. It worked. There's a big shelf that opens it like this. And I run into it, hit my head on the shelf. No, you're not. Yes, I am. I worship God for the things. I worship him for what he says about me. I worship him for his report. I worship him because he bore all my sicknesses and he carried my pains. I worship him for something that he did 2,000 years ago. I worship him out of that standing that I have. I am his son. You are his son. You are his daughter. We are sons and daughters of the kingdom. We are royalty. We live in the habitation. We live in the residency of God Almighty through this one man named Jesus Christ. We have rights. We have an inheritance. We have everything that princes and a prince could ever want, man. Our daddy is a king. There's no want to those that seek God Almighty. There's no want to them. There's no need in our life. We just have to believe that he is who he says he is. So what did I do for months? 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. Father, I worship you. I praise you that these eyes, that there is no blindness in your kingdom. There are no bad reports in your kingdom. I'd feel the pain, but I'd still worship. One thing that the Holy Ghost taught me or has been teaching me when I catch myself slipping, I just ask God to forgive me. To not speak contrary to what he's done 2,000 years ago. If the Bible says that I'm healed, then by God, he told Jehoshaphat, I'm going to win the battle. Jehoshaphat didn't argue with God and say, no, I'm not. He worshiped God for his word. God said, Jehoshaphat, go. You won't even have to lift up a sword. You're going to win. Yes, sir. We give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. He worshiped God for his word. Guess what we have here is what? I can worship God for his promises. I can worship God for everything he says about my situation. It doesn't matter if I look like I'm losing. It doesn't matter. We win because we're sons and daughters of the Most High. We are sons and daughters of the kingdom. We are royalty, my friends. We live in a powerful habitation. We live in the house of God through Jesus Christ. We have been born again. We're bona fide sons and daughters of the Most High God. We live in his dwelling through Jesus Christ. I'm not downgrading worship. That would be ignorance and stupidity and heresy on my part. But I'm giving you the true meaning of worship. We worship God for all that he is. I'm there. I live in his habitation. I live in his residency. I dwell in the house of God through Jesus Christ. Now I celebrate. I celebrate. I celebrate my standing. I celebrate his standing by offering words of adoration and praise, even when I don't see him, even when I don't feel it. It still doesn't change this. It doesn't change the book of Isaiah. On the contrary, when I worship God, it enforces my soul, all that he is. Rewinding again, and I'm almost done. Little David, he told me today in the front row, hey boy, told me today, he phrased it different. Tonight we're going to tussle. He said, last night I was tired. Told me that right there where I'm sitting, where Alex is at, we're going to tussle tonight. I was tired last night. Chubb says, okay, son, we'll tussle tonight. I'm already his dad. I got to get up tomorrow and work. I got to put food on the table for my boys, for my niece. I call my niece my daughter. For my daughters, I got to pay the light bill. I got about $300 worth of groceries a week, so Renee and I can eat for free. Anyway, amen. You're worshiping for your inheritance. I mean, you too. See, I'm already his son. I'm already his son. I got to put shoes on his feet. I got to put clothes on him. I'm his dad. When he's scared at night, when it thunders, who does he run to? To me. Dad, he knows he doesn't have to work. He knows that me and his mama, we work. I don't work to give my kids the finer things in life. And God, thank God, bless them that they don't expect that. They expect it all they want, they ain't gonna get it anyway. I don't work. I used to believe like that because I was taught that from my biological dad because he gave me everything that a young person could ever want. But my kids, they know they're going to school right now. They know that me and my wife are going to work. We're going to labor to put clothes on their back, to feed them, to put gas in their vehicles. It's what dads do. So little David, he knows I'm his dad. He knows that I have to feed him. He knows that my wife has to prepare dinner. He knows that. He knows that me and my wife are the responsible ones to feed him, to put a bandaid on him when he falls, when his brothers beat him up for being mean. What'd you do to him, David? Nothing. What'd you do to him, David? I threw something at him. Okay. And he knows he runs to daddy. He knows that I'm the one to provide with him daily victuals. He knows that I'm the one that's going to take him to school, to pick him up from school, to take him to baseball. He knows that. But when me and him wrestle, it enforces in him the love that his dad has for him. God is all that he says he is. He's healed our sicknesses. He's carried our pains. When we choose to change our mindset, when we choose to change an atmosphere and environment in our life, so we choose no matter what devil in hell is encamped around our mind, when we choose to work out, now, when we choose to worship God for all that he has done, all that he is going to do, and all that his word says that he is, I can do one or two things in my life. I can feel sorry for myself, pout, and live a life of self-pity, or I can worship him for something that he did 2,000 years ago. I can be one or two things. I can be a Christian that's Holy Ghost filled, born again, Holy Ghost filled, that lives in misery, or I can be a born again, Holy Ghost filled believer that lives a victorious life. So worship doesn't put me in the dwelling or habitation of God, but worship helps enforce, it helps saturate my mind with all that my Heavenly Father is. He's your healer. If I don't feel healed, that doesn't mean that he's a liar. It means he's your healer. So what do I do? What did I do for hours and when I was real sick? Father, I bless you. Father, I thank you for your word. I worship you. Praise you. I thank you. The Old Testament saint that dwelt in the house of God, that believed in Jehovah, that believed in the Torah, this is how he would worship. I thank you, God. I worship you that when I go to battle, you're going to arm me with strength for the battle. I'm going to go cut that man's head off tomorrow. In the Old Testament, it was against people. We don't fight with people anymore. At least we shouldn't. Our battle's against devils. Father, I thank you. I worship you that you paid the price for me to walk in peace with my brother. I worship you, Jesus. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your blood. I thank you that you made me whole, spirit, soul, and body. I thank you from the top of my head to the soles of my feet that I am whole. I thank you that you renew my youth like the eagles, Lord. I thank you that your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, Lord. I thank you that you pity your children. You have compassion on us, Lord. I thank you. I worship you, Lord. I thank you that I live a prosperous life in you. I thank you that this body is pain-free. I thank you. I worship you, Lord, for all that you are. That didn't put me in his habitation. That didn't put me in his dwelling, but that helped reinforce what was in there already. Are you with me on that? It's a celebration of all that we have. Do you know what you have, man? Do you know what you have in Jesus? If we died tomorrow, we'd be with him in an everlasting glory. Do you know the price that he paid for you? Do you know what kind of deal he got when he got me and you? He got a rotten creature, a person with junk and filth, and it didn't even faze him. He took me and you the way that we were. And he just wants to groom you, mold you, and mend you into his image. He's not mad at you, man. But for God's sake, let you do something about ourselves. Let's celebrate what's in that habitation. Let's celebrate what we have in Christ Jesus. Let's celebrate it. How? Father, I worship you today. I praise you. I thank you that I am your son. I thank you that I am a son of the kingdom. I thank you I have no want. I have no lack. I have no need. I thank you, Lord, that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I thank you for that perfect eyesight. I thank you for that godly seed. I thank you for that godly wife, that godly husband. I thank you for godly friends. I worship you. I praise you. I glorify your name, Almighty God. I thank you. You are the beginning and the end of everything in my life. I worship you. I praise you, Lord. Worship. It's a celebration of what we inherited in his tabernacle, in his house. Per se, it's a celebration of what me and you received the day we got what? Born again. This isn't just about living, dying, and going to heaven. It's about heaven here on earth, my friends. Twice I've came close to death. Twice. The doctor said you're going to die a painful life, Mr. Betancourt. One said you'll never see again past 10%. I'm not a gambling man, but he's lucky I didn't bet, because I would have bet him. See, but I should have never let myself get in that situation, though. Now that the Lord's healed me again, I'm eating a little bit better. I mean, I was eating a lot better, but I done got a little bit crazy again. But I have been jogging. No, I've been walking. Half walk, half jog. I have been walking a lot lately. And I was eating a lot better, but my wife's fault. She's going to keep cooking for me. Bad food. It's a joke. I'm supposed to laugh. But now God's given me this wisdom to take care of myself. You know, God cares about every part of your being, man. He can offer you an everlasting wisdom. All we got to do is listen. With my finances, he's dealing with me on my finances. Thank God I'm going to get a job now. It's going to be a lot stress-free, a lot less demanding, and by the grace of God, more money to get debt-free, to sow into the body. But he's all that we need, my friends. When you hear these songs about dwelling in the house of God, there's nothing you could ever do to cause you to dwell in that house more than what you are now through Christ Jesus. But worship is a celebration of all that me and you inherited the day we got born again. Worshiping God for the victory, even when we see defeat. Nothing can ever be judged in the natural. People try to give me advice about my son, and I welcome all advice. I try to be meek. But listen, I can't look at it. And people look at my kids more in the natural than I do. I can't look at them in the natural. See, my son doesn't want to come to church right now. He's going to be 19 years old. He doesn't want to come to church right now. But you know what? He can't stop me from praying for him or loving him. He can't stop me from being up at 3 o'clock in the morning and saying that angels protect him. He can't stop that. I can't force him to serve God, but he can't stop me from praying those prayers over him every single night of my life. He can't stop that. He can't stop me from loving him every opportunity that I have to pray for him or to hold him in my arms. He can't stop that. Although Elijah, I'm just saying, per se, Elijah, Julie, Nathaniel, they don't want to serve God. They can't stop their dad. And I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just saying their name. They can't stop me from praying for them. They can't stop me. Julie's 20-something years. How old are you now? 21. And she's been one of the best daughters to raise. 21 years old and still asks me, Dad, can I go to Fort Myers with my friends on Sunday? Yeah, baby, go. Doesn't go out. Elijah, he's always home with me. Nathaniel, we're great friends. Instead of, I say, Elijah, go out, son, go somewhere. No, just stay home with me and watch the Miami Heat, me, him, and Nathaniel. I couldn't ask for better kids. Perfect kids, no. But even if all six of my kids tell me today that they want to do away with the God that I serve, that's fine. When they're of age, I can't make them come to church. I can't. But you know what? Not one of them can stop me from going before my Heavenly Father and interceding for them. They will know the true Savior, Jesus Christ. Not one of them can stop me from being as nice as I can of them in the name of Christ Jesus. Not one of them can stop me. And I'm getting so cocky and arrogant a little bit in God, where I believe that all my prayers are going to be answered. Listen, man, forgive me for not being compassionate, but look, I've faced death a couple times already. So if the fact that you chip your toenail doesn't faze me, forgive me. Forgive me If your toenail cracking doesn't faze me, forgive me and get over your toenail or go get some lead press-ons or something, but it doesn't faze me. You know, if your mama lost her hearing aid or whatever, I'm sorry. And I need to get over it. I need to be more compassionate. But listen, the doctor said I was going to die. So your split toenail, your bad breath, it don't faze me. It don't faze me. This is the thing. I have an inheritance in God. And guess what? So do who? So do you, my friends. You have access to the same cross that I have access to. You got access to the same Holy Spirit, the same Word of God. You know what I know. Celebration is this. God, I thank you for all your promises. One thing that I like the most, and I haven't even told Pastor this, I've told nobody this, but I love when he offers that prophetic prayer. He does it most of the time. Have you noticed when the power that comes out of that prophetic prayer, when he speaks God's word, but you know what he's praying? When he's praying that prophetic, you know what he's praying? Most, listen to what he's saying. He's praying what? He's speaking God's word over situations, over this community, and you can feel the virtue and the power in it. I love hearing it. I love hearing that prophetic prayer because purity is being spoken over situations. The atmosphere is changing about how we worship and what things we speak in Christ, my friends. We can change our mindset in this one man named Jesus Christ. You already live in the habitation of God. You live in his residency. You live where he lives. Now it's time to live out of where we live, which is the instruction of the Holy Spirit, or 1 John calls it the unction. James calls it the engrafted word. Commandments or love of God, it's all the same. When you feel down, and I'm done in 2 minutes, when you feel down and you know you're a Christian and you know it's not God's will for you to feel down, what are we going to do from here on out? We're going to what? We're going to worship him for his standing. If you're sick, I was reading a little while ago, and I'm done, how, you know, sometimes we think, and I do too, I'm not going to, I like being upfront with people. I'm not the spiritual giant, not yet. I'm not the spiritual giant. We put up with junk too much. When you hear the word, and I'm done in about 2 minutes, and we're going to worship a couple of times. Now, I want you to answer this as honestly as you can. When you hear the word flu or fever, or cold, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? It's going to be there for what? It's going to take its what? It's going to take its course. It's going to be there for a while. Why? Because it's always been there for a while. Flu, cold, they got a 24-hour flu now. It does last for 24 hours in the natural. But you hear the word cold, flu, we've already been programmed to think it's going to be there for a while, right? That's the natural way of thinking. Jesus went into a room. There was a lady there. I guess it was Peter's wife's mother, right? Simon Peter's wife's mother was sick with a fever. The Bible said that Jesus touched her hand. What does a modern day church do when there's a fever? We touch the medicine cabinet and the knob, right? And Jesus touched her hand and rebuked the sickness. We touch the medicine cabinet and the knob. See, kingdom thinking is crazy thinking, man, to us. But kingdom thinking, our disposition should be that of the one man named Jesus Christ. We're so used to going through things, to going through the motions. Not in God's kingdom, my friends. And I'm far from walking in everything that I know, my friends. But I do know that that's attainable. I do know that I am a son of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I know that I'm royalty, that I'm a prince being developed to be a king one day. I do know that. Being trained by the Holy Ghost to reign with Christ one day. I do know that. I do know I don't want to be the same tomorrow that I am today. I do know that I serve a mighty God and that I dwell and a heavenly habitation in Christ Jesus. And I know not only do I dwell there, but the one that dwells there dwells here in me, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I have all, and I abound through Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, my friends, when you feel yourself down, the best way that I like to do it, I don't have a monopoly on worship. I don't. I keep all music off to keep all emotion out of it. I just, Father, I bless you. I thank you. This eyesight, I got 20/20, Lord. Thank you that this heartbeat is normal in Jesus' name. I give you praise, Almighty God. I give you glory, and I give you honor. I worship you. And something rises up inside of you. And you just know. You just know that you're receiving what you've been given 2,000 years ago. That's what worship is to me, when I worship my Father for what he's already given me 2,000 years ago. I tell him that I love him over and over again for his promises. Today my little grandson was sick. Baby Quentin was sick. Crying. I swear this to you. I know the Bible says that you're yay be yay and you're nay be yay, but I'm going to cheat on this one. He was crying. And he never cries. He's a tough little kid. Only when he's hungry. That's why I know he's mine. Because he cries when he's hungry. I do too. But he was in pain. He never cries. But I do know that he was crying. What I did with my baby Julie when she used to be sick. She used to be sick. What would you do, Judy, when you were sick growing up? Go lay down with her? No, just with me. Not with your mom. No, me. I'm going to get the credit for this. Not your mom. She'd go to her dad.
Dad, I got a headache. You and I got a headache. You also got bad breath. Turn around, Julie.
I would pray for her. And almost every time, that junk would leave. This is what I did today. I got a little prideful today. A little proud. Got my little, he was crying. Give him here. Jesus' name, son, be healed. Went to sleep. All right, that was fun. Then I woke him up. Started crying again. So I'm going to do this again. I cried. I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. Yeah, I did it twice. That's comical, but you know what? That's our inheritance, man. We have dominion over those damnable things. You may not feel like you do. You may not think you do, but you do. You might not like, you might not feel super victorious. The Bible says, you are. You may not feel like greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, but he is. Just because you don't feel it, don't mean you ain't it. That's my language. And the more I read this, the more I pray in tongues, the more I enforce everything that he says that I am. The more I break those verses that are impossible that had not been broken in years. Somebody told me the other day, one of my friends from Texas said, you're kind of cocky and proud. I thought about it. I didn't say nothing. Then I put, that's your opinion. That's all I said. That's your opinion. You're kind of cocky and proud. But you know what I am? Because had I not known what I've been taught, my wife would have a whole bunch of money. I'd be dead. D-E-A-D, dead. Me and Big Mary would be playing bingo in heaven right now with my sister. I'd be dead. But I was taught right. And you know what? Everybody says the same thing. I was taught right. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. Well, if the Holy Ghost is the teacher of the modern day church, why is there 20,000 churches and 20,000 different beliefs? Either he's a dummy or we're missing it somewhere. I choose to think that the church is missing it somewhere. Had I not been taught, or had I not had an ear to hear, had my heart not been receptive to this truth, I would have been dead. You can't tell right now. We got 12 people and you can't tell right now. You couldn't tell this morning that we're on the right track. You can't tell by looking at the maroon in here. But I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. It's all about getting rid of ourselves and finding him more and more in our lives. Nobody likes hearing that, man. People would rather deal with all the issues in their life and present the gospel than getting rid of what they got in their life and presenting the gospel. People say, why are you against blogging? No, I'm not against blogging. I'm not against it. And I'm done again in 30 seconds. I'm not against blogging. I'm against blogging if what you're writing is not out of lifestyle. That's called hypocrisy, my friends. If a person blogs out of lifestyle, I like what Matt said many years ago, this word has to be abundant in you. If you're blogging and writing out of lifestyle, you're on the right track. But I have found out those that are above me in the spirit write very little. And those that I know write very much. So something's wrong. Worst thing you can do if you're not living right, just because you're giving an impression that you're okay. In all essence, you're fulfilling 1 John chapter 1. You're walking in darkness, giving the impression that you're walking in the light. Just be quiet, man. Be quiet. That way, if you're quiet, they don't know if you're living wrong or right. No. But I have noticed this, and I'm done, that those that I know, women and men, that are powerful in God, say very little. Not that they're embarrassed to preach the gospel, but they say very little. Those that I know don't live right, they sound smooth. Don't they, Alex? They sound smooth. I'm going to follow the lead of those that I know lead right. I have an inheritance. I have a serve an awesome God. And you know what? The more that I get closer to God, the less I want to say. Unless the opportunity arises where I'm ministering God's word. Amen. We're the few, the proud. We're the family prayerites. We're few, the proud. Right now, we're few, Renee. We've got the sinners on the right and the righteous on the left. But, my bad, the day will come, you mark my words, when that man that, was it Irma's brother or son, was he? Was his name the one that, Sammy? That's going to be the norm. And that seat that I got right there where Alex is at, where he's supposed to be, nobody will touch it. The day will come, honestly, where, and that's not what I'm after. It's going to happen, though. It's going to happen. I'm tickled pink preaching to my kids today. And then I'm preaching to pastor and my kids, and hallelujah. How was church? It was great. My kids were so receptive tonight, and my niece and Lupita, they were so receptive. Praise God, we had a revival. Who was there? My kids. My kids were there. But why not my kids? Why not you? To be a chosen champion by God. You're chosen already because you're filled with the Holy Ghost. But why not you, the one to win a nation? Why not you, the one that lives a life full of the Holy Ghost? Why not you? Why not me? Can anything good come out of a mockery? Yes. Yes. We're peculiar people, my friends. We're different, separated from the things of this world, sanctified by truth and the Holy Ghost. We just got to go get it. We just got to go get it. Amen. Gloria al Señor. Se blessu kuda bakadu. Did I say that right? No, that stunks. My friends, it's that simple. Some of the things that I say can be, I'm getting better. Well, I was meaner. I mean, I'll listen to your toenail story. I'll listen to it. When you leave, I'm going to talk about you. I was dying a year ago. My wife said she broke her nail. I don't care. Guys, well, I was going to find a song for us. And I'm going to ask you something today. We're going to worship God when I get my breath bending over. But think about the words. Reflect on the words that you heard today. very thin, ruddy, Hispanic, beautiful, good-looking Mexican man sitting right in front of you. I can't articulate with nobody. I don't articulate very well, thank God. But I promise you what I'll give you has been meditated, and I've gone over it. And there's been this man that teaches me named the Holy Ghost that is the teacher of all teachers. Celebrate what you received at the cross with me. Celebrate the things that you don't even feel. Celebrate your healing. Celebrate what he has given me and you. Worship him and thank him for it. There comes a saturation with it that people wanted to, when I was in bad shape, they wanted to comfort me, and I wanted to slap them, get out of my face, man. Not in a bad sense. I was thinking to myself, I just spent 4 or 5 hours praying in tongues and worshiping God. What do you think you can add to my faith right now? I just spent 4 or 5 hours with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, building my faith up. Leave me alone. I wanted to say that. I thought it, but I didn't say it. People come to me for counsel. I'll give counsel, but I ain't gonna let nobody wear me out. I used to, not no more. What the Holy Ghost can give you, you can hear me for an hour. Go pray in tongues for 2 minutes. He'll give you a lot more than I could ever give you. A lot more. I stutter anyway when I'm under the anointing at the house. Try to get counsel from me at the house. I don't even talk. I'm like Aaron. Which one started, Moses or Aaron? Moses. Like Lupita said one time, let my people go. I stutter bad. Come with me, my friends, on this journey and celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Celebrate your inheritance. Celebrate your heritage. Celebrate what you can't see or feel. Worship him for it. I'm telling you, you live in a mighty, powerful habitation through Christ Jesus. You have been, this is the most underrated statement in the Christian faith, that you have been born again. The Spirit of God, man, lives inside of you. We are different, 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 different. Somebody says, I dwell in the house of God. What is that? I'm a worshiper. I dwell in the house of God too. I'm born again. I've reached that habitation in Christ Jesus. Don't be mean. Let me be mean. I'll be mean to people. I'm not quite sanctified yet. But you live in the house of God. You live in his tabernacle. You live in his residency through Christ Jesus. You're there, my friends. Now let's celebrate and worship him for all that we are in him. Amen. Tussle with him. Let him enforce to you. Let your mind feel the embrace of heaven. Let that tussling session talk you into believing all that he is. Gets easier and easier. Amen. Oralia, let me have something. Let's just worship God a little bit and give him praise and just thank him. Just thank him tonight. And I don't know how long before we keep this little format, not a format, how long we're going to keep doing what we're doing here, but God has me on something, teaching you, and until I feel him changing me, we're just going to keep being taught and worshiping a little bit. So, guys, I just want to help you, and I want to encourage you in the faith. I don't want to judge you. I want to help you in your faults. You know why? Because I'm helped in what? In my faults. And if I'm helped in my faults, I want to help you in your faults. That's where the kingdom of God is. Change, 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 change. Transformation and being conformed to the image and the mind of Christ. Amen? Oralia, stand with me. Let's come, Renee, come up and lead this. Let's worship God a little bit and just give him praise for all that we are in him.